Father, as we come to this moment, make your word live to us in the power of your Spirit. May we not merely hear, but may we be transformed to do all that you command therein. We ask in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. You may be seated. You have your copy of God's Word. Open with me to Matthew, and we're going to take a few minutes to consider our gospel text this morning. The title of this message is, Who Made You King of Anything? I stole it from Sarah Bareilles. Sarah, if you like contemporary music, she's kind of a jazzy contemporary singer-songwriter, and she wrote a song called King of Anything. And it says this, Who cares if you disagree? You're not me. Who made you king of anything? So you dare to tell me who to be? Who died and made you king of anything? I think this is the song that Jesus' accusers were singing the day they approached him in this text. I think it's the song of our culture. I think it's the refrain of many people that surround us, and even some in the church. Who died and made you king of anything? See, we like Jesus, and we like the church as long as it fits into our social structures and as long as it tells us things that we like to hear. But who died and gave you the right to have any claim on my life in a way that I don't want? You see, the Pharisees, the religious leaders, notice these accusers in this passage, beginning in verse 23. It says, when he entered the temple, kind of like the church, and the chief priests and the elders came to him. The people in charge, the religious leaders of the day, the ones who have been in charge with guarding and keeping the law and instructing and directing the people of God, come to Jesus in confrontation. This confrontation lasts all the way through Matthew 23 in one form or another. But Jesus is in conflict with these religious leaders, and their question is this, Who, by what authority are you doing these things? Well, what things? What was he doing? Well, first of all, I want to talk about this authority. The word authority there are two Greek words in the New Testament used for authority. One is dunamis, which means the power to do something, and exousion, which is this one, which means the privilege or the right to do something. They weren't asking him by what power, what dunamis he did it, but they said, who gave you the privilege? Why do you have the right to do the things that you're doing? They're questioning his role and his authority. They're asking him, how is it that you can do these things? What things? Well, let's look back at verses 12 and 13. Jesus had been doing a few things, and Jesus entered the temple. And he drove out all those who sold and bought in the temple, and he overturned the temples of the money changers and the seats of those who sold pigeons. And he said to them, it is written that my house shall be called a house of prayer, but you make it a den of robbers. Well, you want to upset the apple cart? Go in and turn over the table of the money changers. Go in and disrupt the temple currency. The chief priests and the elders were making a pretty penny on that, and they were not pleased that he came in and started turning over tables and reclaiming the temple for God as a house of prayer and not as a house of profit. Well, then look at verses 14 and 16. Not only did he reclaim the house of God, but then he says, and the blind and the lame came to him and in the temple and he healed them. What? Are you kidding me? The blind and the lame come to Jesus and he heals them right there in the temple? Didn't he know where he was and what he was doing? Isn't that where they should be healed? And then, you don't get this so much from this text, but look over at Luke chapter 20. Luke chapter 20, this is a parallel passage to this one in Matthew, in Luke's gospel. And if you begin in verse 48 of 19, it says, for all the people were hanging on his words. And one day, as Jesus was teaching the people in the temple and preaching the gospel, the chief priests and the scribes or the elders came up to him and said, tell us by what authority you do these things. So the three things that Jesus was doing was he was cleansing the house of God from the things that were not godly. He was healing the lame and the sick, people who had been befallen by the subjects of the, by sin and sickness and sorrow and suffering. He's healing them in the name of God. And then he's proclaiming the way of God in the gospel. He's saying, all who will come to me, I'll forgive you of your sins and you'll find rest, for the kingdom of God is at hand. And so the chief priests and the elders, they come up to Jesus and they want to know, hey, what makes you think that you can do these things? Now, I want to just say this. In our culture, in our day, we have so neutered what the Bible says about who Jesus is and what Jesus can do that he scarcely resembles the Jesus of the New Testament. He wasn't a good teacher. He wasn't one among many prophets. He wasn't merely the founder of a religion. He's God. He's very God of very God, as the writers of the Creed said. He speaks and everything changes. He is the Holy One, the Lord God Almighty. And either you submit your life to him and believe in him, or you are guilty before a holy God. That's it. And there's he is either Lord or not. And the great writer C.S. Lewis says, every one of us has to answer this question. Who is Jesus? So I want to commend the chief priests and the elders. They asked the right question. Who are you and by what authority are you doing these things? Who is Jesus in your life? What authority and role does Jesus play in your life? Is he the Lord of your life? Has he come in and turned over the tables of your heart and rearranged your affections? Has he bound away all the guilt and sorrow and suffering by the power of his Holy Spirit and healed you and your broken places? Has he directed and guided you with his word of truth? Is he the Lord of your life? Is he exercising that role for you? Who is this Jesus? And by what authority is he doing these things? So verse 24, back in Matthew chapter 21, Jesus meets the challenge of his accusers with a question. He says, well, I'll ask you a question, and if you tell me the answer, I'll tell you by what authority I do these things. He said, the baptism of John, from where did it come? From heaven or from man? And you could tell these were religious leaders because they formed a committee. Let's discuss it. I think they must have been Anglican because we do committees better than anybody. We have task forces and, man, we can talk something to death. Whew. Anyway, they discussed it among themselves saying, if we say from heaven, he'll say, then why didn't you believe him? But if we say from man, we're afraid of the people, for they hold that John was a prophet. So they answered Jesus, we don't know. And he said to them, neither will I tell you by what authority I do these things. Now, this is kind of an interesting thing. So he asked them one simple question. John the Baptist came baptizing people in the Jordan for the remission of their sins so that they would be ready for Messiah, right? I mean, he says, I'm baptizing you with water. I'm baptizing you with water. The one who's coming after me is going to baptize you with the Holy Spirit. What I'm going to do on the outside, the one who comes after me is going to do on the inside. I'm going to wash you up on the outside. The one who comes after me is going to clean up your heart. And so this is what he said. And then one day, Jesus is walking down the road, and what did John say? Behold, y'all have read this, right? Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Right. That's a problem. See, John just said he was Messiah. John just said, look, everybody, that's Messiah. That's the one that's come from God to do the thing that I told you was going to happen after me. My little baptism over here with the water, that was really nice, but he's come to baptize you with the Holy Spirit and to change your heart. That's him. He's the one. Now remember, these were the same people who were going to crucify Jesus. So John has already said that Jesus is Messiah, that he's the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. And not only that, but the crowd, they had seen Jesus and they had believed in him. They were hanging, as Luke says, they were hanging on every one of his words as he was teaching in the temple. And they believed in him and they were coming to faith in him and they were being transformed by him. And then the chief priests and elders say, well, we don't know who he is. Really? Now, brothers and sisters, Jesus is still changing hearts. Jesus is still doing miracle in lives. Do you really not know who he is? I could point out people in this room who were once in the deepest, darkest abyss of sin that you could imagine, and God reached in the name of Jesus and he pulled them out. I can show you people that were sick with all sorts of illnesses, and the touch of Jesus came upon their life and they were healed, and I'm one of them. I can show you people who felt unloved, unwanted, unneeded, and God spoke over them life, and they became sons and daughters of the Most High God, and they found a new identity in Christ Jesus. And you want to ask me who Jesus is? He's not a teacher. He's not a prophet. He's not some historical figure. He's very God of very God. He is the one who changes hearts. He is the one who redeems lives. He is the one who guides and directs us as our Lord God Almighty. This is who Jesus is. And it troubles me that some in the name of the church can stand today in pulpits and say, well, Jesus might be one way among many ways. No, he's not. He is the way, he is the truth, he is the life, he is the Lord. Or he's nothing. He is the Lord God. And we need to have the courage to stand and boldly say what the chief priests and the elders would not say. We cannot, as the church, say, well, we don't know. We believe he's this, but you can believe whatever you want. If he's Lord, then he's Lord. If he's the way, he's the only way. And we can't stand in a culture and say, well, you know, you believe what you want to about Jesus, I'll believe what I want to about Jesus, and we'll all get along. No, that's not open to us. It's no different than the chief priests and the elders saying, well, we don't know who Jesus is. You decide for yourself. No, he's God. And we must stand firm as those who follow him as Lord. We must speak his truth. We must love with his love. We must care with his compassion. And we must go with his power. Who is this Jesus? Jesus says, oh, you don't know? Well, let me tell you a little story. Jesus always told stories to help those that were a little thick. Like me. Well, what do you think? There was a man who had two sons. And he went to the first son and he said, hey, son, go and work in the vineyard today. And the son answered, well, I will not. You know, you don't have to teach kids to say that, do you? I mean, like when my kids were little, I think one of their first words was no. What? Go clean your room. No. Yes. Let me help you learn how you need to do that. The rod of correction drives foolishness far from the hearts of children. Anyway, I'm not going. But afterwards, he changed his mind, smart child, and he went. He went to the other son and said the same thing, and said, oh, yes, sir, I'm going to go, I'm going to do it. But he didn't go. Which of the two did the will of his father? They were really excited. They were going to get to answer a question. They knew the answer to this one. They felt like, this is pretty safe. We can answer this one. I said the first one did. And Jesus said, that's right. Truly I say to you, the tax collectors and the prostitutes will go into the kingdom of God before you. Oh my goodness. You want to know what the point of this story is? Well, you know, we read in our passage out of Ezekiel that the children of Israel had the promises. They had the promises of God. They knew the way of God. They just refused to follow it. Oh, they were like, oh, yes, God, we're in covenant with you. We're your beloved people. As long as you're pouring out blessings on us, we really like you. But when you tell us to do something, nah, we don't think so. They were the first kids. You know, these chief priests and elders, they were like the first kid. Oh, yes, we're in covenant with God. We believe in Yahweh. Do what he says? No, not so much. Not today. Right? We're not feeling up to it. But the tax collectors and the prostitutes, the ones who had said, hey, ain't no way I'm following God. He can't tell me what to do. When they got to the bottom of the pit and realized where they were, they looked up and said, ooh, I'll do anything you say, Father. Redeem me from my sin. Remove me from my sorrow. I'll follow you to the ends of the earth. I'll do whatever you ask of me. I'll be obedient to you even to the point of death. And you know, the reality is, as we read in our Philippians passage, there's going to come a day where every knee will bow and every tongue will know the answer to the question, who is this Jesus? He is King of Kings. He is Lord of Lords. He is the giver of life. He is the saver of souls. He is God. So, what will you do with this Jesus today? Will you be someone who says, oh yeah, I'm glad to come to church. I'll give God an hour. I'll put a tithe or a tip in the plate, and that'll be good. Surely God will be pleased with me. Just as long as he doesn't tell me what to do at home or at work, in my family or in my work or with my friends or in my relationship. As long as he doesn't get involved in the stuff of my life. As long as he doesn't go turning over any tables in my life. As long as he doesn't go changing anything, I'm glad to say yes to God. If you're that one, just know this. Being in church doesn't save your soul. It's obedience to the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a submission to his lordship in your life. It's a surrender of all that you are and all that you have to him and for him alone. Then you know what it means to be the follower of God. So, truly I say to you, tax collectors and prostitutes enter the kingdom of God before you religious leaders. For John came to you in the way of righteousness, but you didn't believe him. But the tax collectors and the prostitutes believed him. And even when you saw it, you didn't afterward change your mind. Not only did these people refused to believe the claims of Jesus. When they saw him turn over the money changers' tables, when they saw the blind see, when they saw the lame walk, when they saw lives transformed, they still refused to believe. And they said, we don't even know who this Jesus is. So brothers and sisters, today, here's what I want to ask you. Do you know Jesus? Oh, not the stories about the guy who came in history a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away. But do you know Jesus today? Do you know Jesus in your life? Do you know him as the Lord God Almighty? Do you know him as the one who snatched you out of the pit of sin and despair and saved your soul? Do you know him as the one who directs the path of your life and how you spend your money and how you spend your time and who you associate with and how you do it? Is he the one that drives you to love the poor and the brokenhearted and to care for the sick and the lonely? Is he the one that drives you to see the least and the lowest as those with the possibility of heaven because you were one of them? Is he Lord? Do you know who Jesus is? Well, despite Sarah Bareilles' song, I want to say to you, he's the King of everything. And at his name, every knee will bow. At his name, every tongue will confess. Would you do that today? Today is the day. If you've never done that, don't be like those people who are around the things of God but didn't know God. Be like those who knew him in the power of his resurrection and in the fullness of his grace. And if you know him like that, go and tell somebody about it. Somebody who is way beyond reach. Those are the ones he likes the most. The tax collectors and the prostitutes and the... Heaven's going to be full of them. More than religious leaders. Amen.